And we are live for a very special edition sports club here on this hump day, on this great Wednesday. Of course, as we said last week, the sole reason that we are coming to you tonight is because of the Georgia State, Kennesaw State college football kickoff, which is tomorrow night, which we will be a part of, as always. Looking forward to that. Getting back in the swing of college football is here, which puts a step for people who aren't college fans, or maybe if you're fans of both, that means that we're only one step once college football starts. Guess what? That means we're only a week away from the NFL kicking off, and I believe they kick off, what, next Thursday, I believe, the 6th. I believe they kick off on the 6th. That's going to be your Atlanta Falcons versus those defending champions, Philadelphia Eagles, up in Philadelphia. Should be a lot of fun. Don't discount. Yeah, I'm going to start right there. Don't discount the Falcons being able to win that game. In fact, I feel pretty good about them right now. Don't sleep on the fact Colin Cowherd said earlier this week that he thinks the Falcons are going to, basically said the Falcons are going to lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl. That's his pick. Pittsburgh fans kind of expected that. Falcons fans, even though everybody believes in your team, you know, everybody was trying to be real about it, but no, I think you've got to be one of the front runners. Remember, you were on my list of potential teams that I think can win the Super Bowl this year. I think I had it up to 9. Honestly, you could probably eliminate a couple of those. You see, I had Atlanta. I had New England. I had New Orleans. We'll talk about them in a minute, too. I think Dallas is right there. Green Bay, Houston, the Chargers. The Rams are just loaded. They're hard to keep off a list like that. Philadelphia could repeat, although it's really hard, or Pittsburgh. Yeah, I stand beside that. I don't think anybody else can do it. I think you can get really close. But as far as this Falcons team, yeah, I think you're that good. Now, one of the teams in your division did solidify what was potentially one of their weak areas, plus build for the future, and we'll get into that. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about those Falcons, you know? And it's not just that, you know, I think the team's going to do really well this year because, yeah, Ray Charles can see it at this point. Going on with it, there's just really, you know, besides Brandon Fusco, however you say his name, he's now the starting right guard. There's not a lot going on that's huge news for the Falcons, and that should make you very happy. Makes me very happy. I mean, you could look at the fact that they signed a kicker the other day. I think that's just to take some of the pressure. It's probably just for one game, honestly. It's probably for the last game. Probably to take the pressure off Matt Bryant. There's no reason for him to have to kick in this last game. They signed, Giorgio Tavecchia. Dude's a good kicker. But, yeah, he is by far, he's the camp leg, so to say, so that you don't have to play him. You know, there's this bar program that's coming up. Basically, the Falcons are doing something that the Packers have done, even though the Packers do it in different places. It's just a thing, but They're not copying them, though. This is a completely their own thing. There are a handful of restaurants all around the city of Atlanta that are going to be host locations for game day, for home and away, for the Falcons fan crew, which is people like the cheerleaders, Freddie Falcon, Falcons Legends, and actually the street team will all be there at various ones. Obviously, if it's a home game, you will not see all of those. But if you go to some of these places, and if you go to AtlantaFalcons.com, it's one of the news stories there. You can look. These are some good bars. I don't see where these are going to be bad at all. I like those, actually. They're all around the area. Basically, what they're going to do, they're going to host kind of a launch party, basically. It's a bar program. They're going to host all these, so here are places you can go and hang out, you know. So if you want somewhere where you can hang out with other Falcons fans, you could talk about Falcons football. You could watch Falcons football. Hey, I don't know if the Falcons realize this, but this may be a better alternative than trying to pony up the money for tickets. So, you know, as far as that goes, you know, you may end up having a better time, and it won't cost you near as much. Let me just go ahead and run down here. Here are the locations for all 9. Okay, for 9 of the games. One of them's an away game. Obviously, and it's the opener. For the opener, you can go to Hampton and Hudson. That's on September 6th. On September 16th, game versus the Panthers. You can go to Hoyle's Bar, Hoyle's Kitchen and Bar, which is in Marietta. I have to check that out. September 23rd, that's the game versus the Saints. You can go to Sidebar. If you're going to watch the game versus the Steelers on October 7th, that is at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Decatur. Man, a Grindhouse is on my list. I need to go check them out, even if it's not on that day. The game versus the Giants on October 22nd, you go to Hometown Grill. You go to the Taco Mac in Lindbergh, November 4th. That's the Redskins game. The Cowboys game, November 18th, you go to Taco Mac in Prado. The Cardinals game, December 6th, you go to the Taco Mac in Cumberland. You know, Taco Mac is a official, unofficial sponsor of the Atlanta Falcons. They do a lot of stuff together. And December 23rd, you can go to the Taco Mac in the metro area for the game versus the Panthers. For more information on the bar program, you can click this link they have there. But, yeah, what a killer deal there. I said, what the Packers do is they have a Packers fans everywhere or something like that, where no matter where you travel, you look up the local. It's kind of what the Bold City Brigade and the Teal Street Hooligans do with their groups out of Jacksonville. When you travel to different cities, even if you're not a card-carrying member, if you're a fan of that team, in this case, if you're a fan of the Falcons, they give you all these places you can go watch. I think that's fantastic. But, yeah, let's absolutely, you know, not only pencil, man, I think you start to color it in a little bit darker. The Falcons could have a very magical season. They very much, and I'm not just saying, oh, they could until they won't, or they could until they don't. No. I really think that as far as an NFC representative, I honestly, where's that list I had again? Somebody have it? There it is. As a NFC representative, I think between Atlanta and New Orleans, I think are the front runners for that. Then you can get into the Dallas, Green Bay, Rams, Philly, the teams I had on there. I really think that either the Saints or the Falcons. And at the moment, I think it's pretty even. I couldn't pick one right now. But at the moment, I saw that text line. That's like, good job. I don't see those other teams. Aaron Rodgers can definitely will a team to win. And if he's sitting there, he's definitely somebody you're going to have to keep in mind. But, yeah, as far as the rest of that, no, I don't see anybody else beyond that. So, but welcome in. We call this one So Close because we literally are so close. We got all the preseason games are coming up. This Thursday, I think, is week 4. That means next week we will be doing this show on Thursday right before the kickoff game, which, of course, will be that Falcons-Eagles game. So I hope you guys join us on that. That will be – basically, this is the season finale for Season 3. Season 4 will kick off next week. Hopefully, we'll have the guys back. We'll have some great discussions. Because of the odd timing and odd day we had to do this one, it's kind of hard to make sure we're all around. But I'll be with you for the next 35, 40 minutes, whatever. We're going to get through everything on this list. Now, I talked about how somebody else in the Falcons division has not only solidified one of the weaker points of their teams, but they have potentially built to keep their run going, and that would be the New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints, I believe, sent a third-round pick to the Jets for Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater to, I guess, be the perennial backup behind Drew Brees. Now, I know what people say because I think for a while I thought Teddy's leg was pretty shot too. I get it. But I had a discussion with a Falcons fan that's even a little worried about this. And he even went as far to say is that Teddy Bridgewater may be the best backup quarterback in the NFC. You know, let's think about that. In their division, probably. Although, you got Josh McCown on this side, but I mean, I don't know. His shop's pretty good. Derek Anderson's pretty good. But if Bridgewater shakes out, if he gets back to even 80-90% of where he was before that horrific knee injury, then think about that. You got Drew Brees. If something happens to Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater would step in. He's a different style of quarterback. I mean, different type of quarterback. Drew is smaller, so he tries to fit it in windows. Teddy stands tall in the pocket and can be a little more mobile at times. But he's not a big runner, mainly because of the knee injury, but he's not a big runner. Runs when he has to. But Bridgewater. But I know what you guys are saying. Well, Drew Brees rarely gets hurt. I'll give you that. Drew Brees rarely misses time. I'll give you that one, too. But how long is Drew Brees going to play? Some people think 1 year. Some people think 2 years. I think you're looking right in that window, 1 or 2 years. So what if he plays, what if this is his last year? Then they turn the reins over to Teddy Bridgewater, who is already a pretty smart, mature quarterback, who now spent a year under Drew Brees. And he's about the same age as a lot of the stars on this team. So this run continues. If Drew plays 2 more years, so he plays this year and he plays next year, same thing. That's 2 years Teddy Bridgewater got to hang out under Drew Brees and pick up some things here and there. The Saints somehow looked into finding their potential future quarterback, and the guy's already proven he can play. You can't tell me that the Minnesota team he was a part of right before he got injured isn't as talented or possibly even less talented than this Saints roster. I was going to bring up one of the topics that was the leading topic I had for this week. I was going to say, I wonder if somebody like Jacksonville will try to make a move for Teddy Bridgewater because he's an upgrade over Blake Bortles. I like Blake Bortles. I feel like if you gave Bridgewater a couple games, Bortles starts to struggle, you pop him in, I think, the, you know, he's playing $5 million this year. That's a steal. That was actually the leading topic. But this trade to the Saints, I think, is way more interesting. I think it makes the Saints a lot stronger. I don't even know who their backup was before. It doesn't matter. If Bridgewater shakes out, if there's no more injuries, if there's no more big question marks, and he looked pretty dang good in the preseason, can we not? I mean, and that was for the Jets. If he can do that with that team, which I'll give the defense of the Jets. The defense is going to be pretty good. The offense, I don't know what's going to happen. We'll have to see what Darnold can do up there. But at the same time, what Bridgewater could bring to New Orleans is just a whole. He's the kind of guy that when Drew Brees does move on, the city will latch onto this kid. He will become the face of New Orleans. I'm not saying the Falcons should have made a move like this because they didn't need to make that move. The Saints knew after Brees was a question mark. So they made sure it's not a question mark. It might be an exclamation point at this juncture. Anyway, we might get in the NFC South a little later on. Again, I'm not sure if we will. But, no, I want to kick it back over to the Falcons. You know what? I do. So I recently went to a surprise birthday party. A good friend of mine was turning 40. And his wife and kids threw a great surprise party. I think he's still surprised, and this was a handful of weeks ago. You know, shout out to him. We all had a great time. It was good we could celebrate with you. We definitely appreciate the effort everybody put up. It was a fantastic event. But it got me thinking. Because for people that don't know, I'm 34. I'm 34 years old. So I'm not quite 40. 6 years away. It got me thinking, where do I want to be in 6 years? Where do I think I'm going to be? It's things to think about, because if you set goals that far out, you can try to do things, make decisions that'll maybe get you to those areas. You know, so I like to take things day by day the same way people in the NFL say they do, and you know, you set smaller goals and try to work up to the bigger ones, those kinds of things. But it got me thinking, where do I see the Falcons in 6 years? Where do I see the Falcons in 6 years? I think, obviously, they'll be at the tail end, if not slightly past the Matt Ryan era, because I think Matt Ryan's, what, 32, 34? He's right my age. He's somewhere. I don't mind saying my age. So they'll be in the twilight years of the Matt Ryan era, probably in the process, if not already, passing the baton to the next guy. I think Dan Quinn is going to win at least one Coach of the Year award. He should be in the running about every year, honestly. This guy might be one of the next great coaches in this league. I see Devontae Freeman potentially still here. I think Coleman will be gone by then. He'll be starring for somebody else. It's unfortunate. Obviously, we'll be probably towards the twilight of Julio, but we'll have Ridley at that point. I'm not sure who the other ones will be as far. I'm not going to go real deep into this at this point, but I see this defense continuing to evolve. You know, the Grady Jarrett's of the world, the his name escapes me now. The Beasleys of the world, I think they'll still be around. They'll be cornerstones of this defense. I think this defense in 6 years will resemble what that Ray Lewis defense looked like in Baltimore towards the end of his career. I think it's going to be up to that level. I see Arthur Blank still on his team. He may, after he wins the Super Bowl, we'll see. Because, you know, it's like the Jerry Jones thing. I mean, you can only try to run it so long. And just the unfortunate thing about life is as you get older, it becomes harder to do things. So, but we'll see if that. I think Archer will still be here. But, no, I think they will be in the twilight years of the Julio Matt Ryan stuff. Sanu will be gone as well. Dan Quinn, like I said, I think they, in the next 6 years, the potential's there for maybe two or three. I think they will have at least one Super Bowl. It'll be a transition time, though. They'll be passing the baton as far as quarterback, which he probably is not on the roster. Maybe they make a move in 4 years, like the Saints did here, a Bridgewater type move. Maybe Josh Allen hasn't really shaken out as good as Buffalo would have wanted. And they can make a move in 3 or 4 years and trade for him. I mean, those kinds of moves. I mean, we're fantasy land. We love to visit there a handful of times. You know, where do I see the Falcons? I think they're still going to be on that plateau of this great run. And they've had this run going. I give Mike Smith credit for setting it up and getting his team just as close as he did. I don't hold anything against him. I just think he had gotten as far as he could get them. It happens. It happens everywhere. Great coaches get you so far. You got to get the next great coach to take you to that next level. It's not that the first one wasn't qualified. It's just you spend so much energy, time, effort, everything, trying to get it to that level, and it just takes everything you got. But no, in 6 years, like I said, there's not going to be any big pickup. I think they're still going to be relevant. They're still going to be one of the top 8 to 10 teams every year. I think they're pretty much going to be in the playoffs as long as Matt Ryan's healthy, at least 4 or 5 of those 6 years, if not a sixth. I mean, you just never know, because in the NFC, you can get 10 wins and not be a wild card. This year, the wild card may come down to who wins 11 games. It really could. But where do I see the Falcons in 6 years? I think you guys can all agree. And we know I'm not homering out, because I don't do that on this show. If anything, I'm the contrarian. But no, I see this team continuing to not really dominate, but do the things they do. Because they're not a domination team. They're a control team. They want to control what you do and make you do the things that you're not good at. It's worked for the Patriots. It worked for Seattle for 4 or 5 years. You know, these kinds of things happen. But where do I see the Falcons in 6 years? I think they're still going to be rolling. They're still going to be, they won't, it's hard, I hate saying rise up. You guys know I don't like that. They're going to be up there. They're gonna is this gonna be a big run? Do I think they're gonna have a 20-year run like the Patriots? No, it's almost impossible that even happened. It was just a perfect scenario there. Plus, their division's way better than the AFC East, so you're not gonna see that kind of dynasty run. But I do think the Falcons, at least three or four of those 6 years, you're gonna be looking at division titles. You'll be the NFC representative a handful of times. Like I said, I see at least a Super Bowl. So where do I see them? I see them on top. And I hope you guys see them that way too. We'll break that down as the season comes on as well, because I want to hear what Coach and Reggie might have to say about that. But, yeah, when you think about it, think about where you see this team in 6 years. Hit us up on Twitter, at Team Impact Media, hashtag it Sports Club. Love to read what you have there. You can hit us up on Facebook. If you want to drop us a message on Instagram, at the Impact 99. At some point, we may start one for the Impact Media stuff. Who knows? Or, you can hit us up right here. 347-826-7448. Phone lines are open tonight. Probably should have mentioned that 25 minutes ago, but, that happens. Plus, if you go to the iTunes store, give us a rating and review. If you want to drop us a comment, question, suggestion, anything like that, especially a question, I will make sure to address it right here on the very next show. In fact, while we're thinking about it, why don't I go ahead and bring that up and see if any of you guys have dropped some questions, and we'll get to those here shortly. I'm going to run through some of these other ones. We'll stop on the major ones. The Steelers trade for Ryan Switzer. They are usually great at developing wide receivers. They are great at drafting them. So is Ryan Switzer going to be the next great thing? I think Dallas just got overloaded. They didn't have time to develop him. That's why they shipped him out to, I believe, Oakland. I don't know. You can trade a can of beans and a pickle to Oakland for about anything if it's a new player, because I think Gruden would happily let that go. Here. Check it iTunes real quick. But they trade for Ryan Switzer, so we'll see what kind of impact he can make up there. I hope the best for him, because I really thought he was going to be Cole Beasley 2.0. It just didn't quite materialize. But, it is what it is as far as that. Chad Kelly is going to start the last preseason game for the Denver Broncos. How big is this? I think it's huge. It's absolutely huge, because I think Chad Kelly's going to be the starter possibly by next season, possibly by the end of this one. And it's not going to be for Case Keenum doing bad when he just doesn't have a lot of super great games. Then I think they're going to look towards Chad Kelly, because it's crazy that Mr. Irrelevant of last year's draft literally has the opportunity to be the starter. He literally has the chance to be the starter. So we'll see what he does on the preseason finale. I think it's going to be really great. I'm going to try to catch some of it just because I want to see how good the kid does. I mean, it's not just his last name's Kelly. I think the guy can legitimately play. And, I look forward to it. Next, we all know that I'm not that sold on Jacksonville. They're loaded, especially on defense. They're absolutely loaded. But they just lost their top wide receiver, Marquise Lee, to a season-ending knee injury. So, you not only had Bortles still as your quarterback, but now who is he throwing to? I mean, literally, who is he throwing to? Mercedes Lewis isn't even on the team anymore. I don't know any of these receivers. I'm just watching crazy things happen in Jacksonville. One thing I was going to hit last week was the Jalen Ramsey comments. You know what Jalen Ramsey making all those comments does? It takes the pressure off Blake Bortles. Usually everybody goes, Jacksonville, oh, Blake Bortles. Oh, yeah, man, what are they going to do? It's just like what they used to do in Cincinnati. Oh, Andy Dalton. You know what? Andy Dalton, probably a top 15 quarterback. He's gotten better. They're on a fully loaded team. The problem is they just hadn't put it together. And maybe Andy Dalton moves on from Cincinnati soon. You put him in Jacksonville, my goodness, he's a Pro Bowler. You put him in a handful of other places, he's probably a Pro Bowler. It's incredible. It's crazy. But now when you say Jacksonville, oh, Jalen Ramsey, all that stuff he's talking about, and he's talking about every quarterback. That's what he's doing. It's not the bait and switch so much as it's smoke and mirrors. The magic trick, so to say. It's, hey, look over here as I do something else with my other hand there. And Jalen Ramsey saying all this stuff, whether he believes it or not, it doesn't matter. It gets more discussion about Jacksonville. It gets them back into the news. It gets them on everybody's tongue, including other players. It takes the pressure off of Blake Bortles. It absolutely, that is what it does. Whether he intended to do it or not, and I think Jalen's a pretty smart guy, I think he kind of knew where this was going to go by saying this stuff. But he's set up now. Absolutely set up. This was fantastic. Fantastic. I got some new ratings and reviews. We definitely appreciate you guys all gave us 5 stars. Appreciate that. Like I said, if you get a chance, go to the iTunes store, give us a rating and review. We very much appreciate it. But, yeah, that's, you know, like I said, you think about Jacksonville, you used to think about, oh, Blake Bortles, can he play as good as he needs to, or is he... Is he really just a mediocre guy? Blake can play. He can play in this league. But I think Jacksonville's going to take a step back. Everybody else in this league, or everybody else in their division, is going to get better. Andrew Luck's back. Deshaun Watson's back. Marcus Mariota's healthy. Imagine that. 3 potentially great young quarterbacks with pretty good teams around them, with the exception of the Colts, in the same division. The AFC South is almost the NFC South as far as it is loaded. It is just, you know, just running the gauntlet. But speaking of Blake Bortles, I want to give him a lot of props because not only does he weather the storm of us media people constantly sending shots at him, which are unfair. A lot of them are unfounded and unfair. I'll give him that. But Blake Bortles and his foundation provided meals for the first responders at Jacksonville Landing, where the unfortunate incident happened at the Madden tournament the other day. Thoughts, prayers, and condolences out to all the families and people affected by that. Just tragic and uncalled for. But congratulations and kudos out to Bortles and his foundation for providing meals and to those first responders and helping out. He's a good guy. You guys love him. You guys see him all around town. I hear from Jacksonville people all the time. They're like, hey, I saw, you know, you don't see Blake at Walmart, but they're like, hey, I saw him at this restaurant. Hey, he was down at the beach. Hey, that's the way he is. He's a big community guy. What can we get into? Oh, little note here. Think about this. It's been a year after Hurricane Harvey, basically, right? The J.J. Watt Foundation has given out to victims and victims' families and all the people affected by Hurricane Harvey, over $41.6 million they have given out up to this point. That is a incredible, staggering number. Just exceptional human being. J.J. Watt and all the people that are helping down there. Because, yeah, he's spearheading it all, but there's so many people in that organization that are helping everybody. Just, congratulations and kudos out to you guys. By the way, I finally got to see some of you that were asking. I did get to see the I Am Paul Walker documentary. Another just great human being. Yeah, definitely try to see that. I think it's HBO or Showtime or one of those had it. You definitely want to try to see that. It shows his friends and family really give you a dive inside to the kind of person he was away from the cameras. And if you thought he was great on camera, he was just exceptional human being. Definitely check that out. Him and J.J. Watt would have got along a lot. Supposedly there are four teams that are still serious about trading for Khalil Mack. And Oakland is not really automatically saying no, which is kind of interesting and a little concerning to a point as far as Oakland fans should be concerned. I don't know who these four teams are. Like I said, everybody thinks it's Green Bay. I don't know that Green Bay is in the mix because they really don't have the money to pay him, and we'll get into why they really don't here in a minute. I don't know who these four teams are. And like I said, the Raiders could easily go, we're not trading him. And everybody would leave it alone. But they haven't said, we're not trading it. So, yeah, that is what it is. That tells me everything I need to know. But as far as the Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers is going to get a new contract, and he will... Yeah, okay, you guys keep this. I'm trying to use the article, but if you're going to keep playing stuff, then we won't use your article. Just keep that in mind. In fact, the Packers are going to leave half their starters at home, according to the report I just saw. Here it is. Aaron Rodgers is going to get a new contract. It's going to make him a very, very wealthy person. They announced they have signed he has signed a contract extension. He will now be a member of the team through 2023. The extension is worth $134 million for 4 years, which averages out to $33.5 million per season. Nothing personal, but take that, Matt Ryan. And includes a $57.5 million signing bonus. The two-time MVP is going to end up getting more than $100 million in guarantees. And also, according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, he's going to get $80 million between now and March. He did have 2 years remaining on his deal, which was, yeah, it doesn't matter. But so Matt Ryan at $30 million per year was top dog for a while, and then the Packers said, that's cute. Hold my drink. So Aaron Rodgers is going to average $33.5 million per season for the next 4 or 5 years. So. Congratulations to Aaron Rodgers on that. To me, he is the best quarterback in the league, so he very much deserves to be the highest paid. Once again, I think that has a lot to do with some of the money that they could allocate to other things. But at the same time, if you're the Packers, you had to pay him. You needed to pay him the same way that the Giants needed to pay Odell Beckham Jr. Now, of course, they paid him. Let me make sure I get those right. His new deal, it's a 5-year extension where he is going to average $19 million, $95 million total, but he's going to average $19 million for the next 5 years. Yeah. He's making quarterback money, basically. In fact, he might be making more money than Tom Brady. I think Brady makes 16. So now the Patriots are going to be on the clock as far as that. But of the 95 total, 65 of it is fully guaranteed for Odell Beckham Jr. He is now the highest paid wide receiver in the league. He is ahead of Antonio Bryant, I believe, is number 2. If you're the Giants, you have to pay Odell Beckham. he's your best player. And I mean, you should try to play your best player, but no, you have to. I still think Eli Manning is a very comparable quarterback. But look at the numbers last year. Without Odell Beckham, you can almost cut his numbers in half. That's a little bit of exaggeration, but he's a different quarterback. It's the difference between like 55% passing and 65%. It's like the difference between through 20 touchdowns and through 35. You know, it's that kind of difference. Those numbers are made up, by the way. Don't start looking into that. Don't start berating me on the text line. I know what the numbers are, but I'm just saying, as good as Eli Manning is, we all know he's towards the twilight of his career. He's probably got one, two more years left himself. Yeah, maybe he plays longer. Who knows? But at this point, you have to have Odell Beckham happy in camp, on the field, or all that work you've done the last couple of years to rebuild this Giants team will be for nothing, and at that point you can enjoy third or fourth place in your division. Because right now the Giants are good enough. Between, you never know what Washington's going to do. They could be good. They have the potential to put up some pretty good wins, maybe. But this division right now is literally a three-team race. You got the defending champion Eagles. You have the Cowboys, who are apparently sleepers and underrated. And then you have the Giants, who can compete with both those other teams. If you're going to compete in that division in the NFC East, you have to have him happy and in camp. So that's what they did. So I applaud their efforts there. I have no problem with them paying him what they did. For one, it's not my money. And two, who else are you going to give it to? You've paid all the free agents you brought in. You paid all the other guys that have been on the roster pretty much. It was Odell or nobody. So congratulations to Odell on that and being the highest paid. Bills fans, speaking of Andy Dalton, Bills fans gave Andy Dalton a standing ovation the other day during pregame warm-ups. Why would the Bills give him one? Remember, he's a Bengals player. Well, because thanks to him last season, he did what he needed to do so that the Bills would get into the playoffs. I even put on here, could he have a future there? Possible. Maybe the next couple years. Like I said, if Josh Allen doesn't really work out the way they want him to, or maybe they make a move and let him kind of learn behind him. I mean, I think Dalton's going to go somewhere, because when Marvin Lewis gets let go as the head coach in Cincinnati, the next coach is going to come in. He's going to go, yeah, I like Andy Dalton. If he wants to stay here, great. And Andy's going to be like, you know what, I should move on. And there's going to be plenty of places I think he can move on to, because he's still good. Like I said, and he's improving every year. He's still young, and he's got that leadership quality you just can't teach. But the fact the Bills fans did a great troll job there and gave him a standing ovation, at least some fan base is giving him a standing ovation, because Cincinnati is really in that boat where they don't know what they have, but they're going to remember it when they lose it. Quick note, Eric Decker retired. It just seemed like his body was starting to shut down on him, and the Patriots basically said, I mean, you know, we can let you go. Or, and he said, I'm going to retire and go out gracefully, which is fine. The Broncos signed Adam Pac-Man Jones. I don't think he likes to be called Pac-Man, but he's never reached back out to me, so I will continue to call him that. But they signed him. Von Miller likes that sign, and hey, they need some people, because Aqib Talib went to the Rams, right? So you need somebody back there, and Adam Jones can still play. He's a good player. If you can keep him from getting in dust ups with other players, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. Do we have time for this? We do have time for this. All right. Well, hold on 1 second. You get a drink of coffee in there. We got good coffee here. I get this coffee somewhere else, but our coffee here is good. Let's talk a little Atlanta United. We'll talk some Major League Baseball, and then we'll get into some Tom Brady and get out of here. That's our game plan. So now you know whether you want to fast forward, rewind, download it again. We're good with either of those. Atlanta United, they had the big win over Orlando FC, the Fighting Lions there. They won 2-1 with Martinez scoring his 28th on the year, which is the single-season MLS record now. He celebrated by pulling a Brandy Chastain and taking his shirt off. I think he just really wanted to soak it in. He finally got a chance to celebrate a goal because all the rest of them, he's never sure if something's going to get called back to the VAR. So this one, he knew true blue was in. It was a fantastic one. It came off, the pass came from Gressel, which is, I believe, the 9th assist Gressel has to Martinez this year. That's just incredible. And then the scoring actually got started early by Leandro Gonzalez Perez, my favorite player, one of them, put his first of the year. The opposing goalie, who is very good for Orlando, had a shot go off his chest. He was not able to wrap it up, and LGP was right there to kind of tap it home. It was, like I said, it's his first of the year, and he did a shout-out of putting his thumb in his mouth, a shout-out to his brand-new daughter, I mean, probably less than a week old. Congratulations to LGP on not only the goal, but on the birth of his baby daughter there. And Atlanta United continues to roll. And look at this. We still don't know who the secondary scorer is, but they're starting to close out games. And Orlando, I will give you the credit. You're turning, you have turned a corner. Orlando has very much turned a corner. They're looking good. Got the new coach. He seems to be working out. They brought in some new people. They've cycled through some players because of injuries and other things. This team next year, the way that they're going, if they will give this coach a little bit of time, this Orlando team could bounce back and be competing again next year. I very much like what they're doing. Baseball thing I want to get into. I'm going to go through all the six major races here. There are about 30 games left. Keep this in mind. I'm going to tell you who the division leader is, and then I'm going to tell you the second place and basically decide could they catch the leader and will they catch the leader. Let's start right there in the American League East. Boston, and this was all as of a couple of days ago, so it may have changed a little bit. Boston is up 6.5 games on the Yankees. Do I think the Yankees could catch them? That's possible. Will they catch them? No, I don't think so. I think the Yankees are very much looking at a wild card, possibly the first wild card spot, and probably Oakland or Houston will have the second one. Let's go to the Central. Cleveland has a 13-game lead on Minnesota. Could Minnesota catch them? No. Will they? No. Minnesota's really rebounded well here, but the Indians are playing at a very, very high level. If I'm Boston, I would almost be afraid of a 7-game series with Cleveland. Who knows how that's going to shape out. Then let's move to the West. Houston has a game and a half lead over Oakland. Can Oakland catch Houston? Yes. Will Oakland catch Houston? Yes, I absolutely think so. I think Oakland is the front runner for this division by far. I think they will not only surpass them. I think they're going to build up about a 4 or 5-game cushion going into the last 25 games or so. And a 5-game lead with 25 to go. Yeah, we're not talking about the Mets here. That's a hard lead to chip into. I think very much Oakland will probably win the West. Houston will be the second wild card behind the Yankees, who will be first. Boston's going to win the East. Cleveland's going to win the Central. And Minnesota's going to watch Little Big League a few more times. Let's move to the National League West. Arizona has a 1-game lead over Colorado. Arizona's playing some good baseball. I'll give them that credit. They're a very solid team. They have surprised a lot of people. So do I think Colorado, who is in number 2 spot, do I think they can catch Arizona? Yes. Do I think they will catch Arizona? I'm going to say yes. I think they're going to surpass Arizona. I think Colorado could win the West. It's good to see both those teams back up. It's insanely crazy that because of the Denson stuff that the Dodgers are not even really in this race, but I think Colorado will win the West. The Cubs have a 4-game lead over the Cardinals. Do I think the Cardinals can catch them? Yes. Do I think they will? No. I think somehow the Cubs are going to hold this together. The Cubs are going to win the Central. St. Louis and Arizona are going to bat. St. Louis, Arizona, and potentially Philadelphia are going to battle for those two wild card playoff spots. So Cubs in the Central, Colorado in the West, moves us to the East. The Braves have a 3.5-game lead over the Phillies. Can the Phillies catch them? Sure. Absolutely. But will they? No, I don't think they will. I think Atlanta's going to continue to surge and push ahead the way they have. I think Atlanta's going to win the East. Like I said, Philadelphia, St. Louis, and Arizona are going to battle for those last two spots, those two wild cards there. But baseball's heating up. It's a good time. If you haven't been watching much, it's a good time to start tuning in, catching some games here and there. I know all the major networks are starting to carry a handful more games now. Just got a note from Coach that he will be ready starting next week. And, Coach, we'll be glad to have you back on, because next week we'll be talking about actual season stuff. But yeah, that's all the notes I had for that. Oh, lastly, I want to talk a little briefly about this. Tom Brady was on his WEEI in Boston normal call-in radio interview, and they brought up the Alex Guerrero saga that the media has blown up a lot more than I think it really is. And he said, yeah, I don't really want to talk about that. And then they continue to talk about it. The hosts bring it up. And he kind of says a few things. He's like, but I really don't want to get into that. And then they bring it up a third time, to which Brady kind of says his piece about it. And then he goes, you know what? I'll talk to you guys later. And hangs up on, as he absolutely should. We have guests all the time. Sometimes I get a chance to talk to them beforehand. Sometimes I don't. There are certain subjects with every guest that, as a good journalist, I a lot of times try to be upfront, even when we book a guest, to go, hey, is there anything off limits? Can we talk about this, or can we talk about this? Most of the time, almost everybody I've ever interviewed or even considered interviewing said, open book, whatever you want to do. And none of them get upset if you bring up something they really don't want to hear or something they really want to talk about, things like that. We don't have those problems. There's a handful that go, you know, I really don't want to talk about this. Or if we can, I really just want to talk about this. Yeah, that works with us. We love to just have guests of all kinds on here. Especially when you're in an interview on live radio and your guest is pretty much telling you, change the subject. And then he tells you again, change the subject. You only get two warning shots, you know. You basically get two strikes, and on the third strike, you're out. So Brady pulled out. There was no reason whatsoever for him to keep talking there, and I absolutely applaud his efforts. Absolutely applaud his efforts. But that's going to do it for us this week. So shout out to the coach, to Reggie, to Cody, and to everybody else here at Impact Media. Thanks for allowing us to do another and Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for allowing us to get on here, talk some sports club. Of course, if you want to see me, I will be at the KSU versus GSU game at Georgia State Stadium, the old Turner Field. That is a 7 p.m. kickoff, if I am not mistaken. And for everybody here, as I said, we will see you guys next week. Go Falcons!
These guys are warriors.